Greetings. I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. This week we come to James 5 and we're going to look at the first 6 verses. And I want you to brace yourself. The apostle writes, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." Wow. This was not in the Bible. You might think you were hearing some of the fire and brimstone preaching of the first great awakening. Maybe you read Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And to the original readers of James' letter, this passage would have sounded like a blast from the past, just to them as well. You see, many of the Old Testament prophets had taken up this judgment language to denounce the unrighteous rich who were gathering up wealth of this world by oppressing the poor. This here is another wrong attitude that James is setting before us that demonstrates a lack of Christian humility. So Joel, what is humility to James? Well, first, it is unflinching acceptance of God's word. James 1:22, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Secondly, humility is living a life of service. James 1:27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction." And third, for James, humility is awareness of our unworthiness and need of mercy. And that is where James started this humility section back in chapter 4 when he said in verse 6, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And the other bookend in verse 10 was, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." You hear that? If we humble ourselves, God will raise us up. For the Christian, up is down, and down is up. And that makes sense why then James is so harsh here to the rich who give no thought to the poor. James ended chapter 4 with a warning about our call to do the right thing, that failure to live in accord with what we know God calls us to do is sin. If God has told you the right thing to do and you refuse to do it, my friend, this is sin. And James is reminding us of God's concern for the poor, for the needy, for the sojourner. A rich person's failure to be concerned with God's desire will result in them being brought down. In fact, that's an understatement. Judgment Day will be their worst nightmare. James does not make light of this sin of hoarding wealth and causing others to suffer and being unfeeling about it. James says, "Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you." Friend, I hope this gets our attention. We may be tempted to skip over this and think James is only talking to folks who live in mansions, who have big bank accounts with millions and billions. But this is for all of us, especially in Western materialistic culture. Don't think that because you have less money than many of your neighbors that this doesn't apply to you, that this makes you more heavenly minded than them. Think about it. If you do that, you're raising yourself up, and up will lead you down. And if you're wealthy, don't get defensive. Receive this from James as well. The fact is, being rich is relative. There's always someone richer than you, and always someone poorer than you. The problem is not whether you got money. The problem is, if money got you. And in our culture, money has got a lot of us. And that's James' concern. And are we going to see that how we get our wealth, how we guard our wealth, and how generous we are with our wealth actually speaks to our humility? Let me ask these questions. Do we believe the promise in God's word that we are co-heirs with Christ? Romans 8:17. If we do, then we won't seek to store up earthly riches that will rot. Do we see our wealth as a means by which we can serve those who need help? After all, Jesus became a poor servant so that we might become rich. Philippians 2, 6-11. And do we think sometimes that we deserve the money we have? No, my friends, all we have is a gift from God. What do you have that you did not receive? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Friends, let us be willing to humble ourselves now. Let us go down, that we might be raised up on the last day. More, let's not hoard the things of this world for the sake of our neighbors. Let's show them that our true treasure is Jesus Christ. Remember who you are and who you belong to.